This is Sheila Bender, and you are listening to In Conversation, Discussions on Writing and the Writing Life. Today, sound engineer and editor for this program, Charlie Fleischman, and I are together in the studio interviewing one another about how this program came into being and how we produce it. I hope you'll enjoy listening to a lot of the behind-the-scenes stories of what happens to create In Conversation, Discussions on Writing and the Writing Life.
The first question needs to be, how did this show start? How did you get on the air here at KPTZ?
All right. Well, you're asking me to go back in the annals of my memory. And my memory tells me it was 2012 at some point when Sheila Kalov, a Port Townsend resident, was then learning to edit. And she saw my proposal for a program and asked me if I'd like to work with her to have it produced on the air. And that goes back to being around when people were first talking about KPTZ being established, and a call went out for program proposals. And there's nothing I love more than talking about writing with not only writers, but publishers and editors, program directors, and other people involved in the writing world. So I said, yes, I'm delighted that now a sound engineer wants to take this on. And then we had to discuss, well, how are we going to do this? How does this work? At first, I just said, well, I get some writers. They either come into the studio if they're local, or we can use the telephone, right? And she said, yes. And I said, and then we'll just talk for a half-hour program, and that'll be it, right? So we learned a few things. First of all, that some people could just come in on the fly and just have a conversation without a script, and other people wanted to know more about what they might be asked. So we developed a way of dealing with the people. And then Sheila was ready to move on to other volunteer work. But she said to me, I think I found the right sound engineer to replace me. And she certainly did, Charlie. I was so glad it was you.
Thank you. It's been a great collaboration. I came in probably around the beginning of 2014. And I started at the station in 2012.
So what attracted you to this show?
I already had been working on the Nature Now show to record and edit it for probably a year and a half before I got involved with this show. It just intrigued me that it could be another interesting type of thing. I was doing some day managing at the station then, and I thought, okay, it's time to just concentrate on the recording and editing work and get a chance to listen to a lot of different authors and poets and publishers and who knows what else that were going to be on the show. To be in here when they're talking and to listen to the whole process of getting them to say the kinds of things that maybe they didn't even know they wanted to say. And I think that's been one of the strong suits that Sheila has, is that the conversations, and that's what they are, they're conversations, when they're done properly, and they are done very well here, people open up and talk about things, and one thing leads to another.
And that imitates the process of writing, which is one of the reasons I love talking to writers and feeling that even in our discussions of writing, we get into the unknown. We get into having to articulate things we didn't know how to articulate before. And that's a very nourishing and enriching process for both me, the interviewer, and for the writers themselves. Well, you mentioned that you were hanging around the station and you were doing some office work. What brought you to KPTZ?
I just thought I wanted to do something different that I hadn't done in my life. I always listened to radio a lot growing up. Lived about 75 miles from New York City, so I could pick up all the New York stations, listen to music, listen to the Brooklyn Dodgers, listen to lots of broadcasts of one sort or another, the old radio shows, Mr. Keene, Trace Serve, Lost Persons, and all those kinds of things. And radio always just kind of intrigued me, like what goes on to produce a radio show? And now that it's changed so much where you have all the digital ability to do things and ways to edit that are much easier, I thought, well, okay, let me go see what's going on. And as is the case in most volunteer situations, they're always looking for eager volunteers. And they found a spot for me immediately with the Nature Now situation and what they call day managing in those days, to kind of oversee things for some hours during the day. And then I was also doing some program logs where you put in what's going to be playing when there's nobody on the air. And I got to be like a behind-the-scenes DJ without having to go on the air. So that was interesting too. eventually it kind of boiled down to I wanted to stay within conversation and work with Sheila and not be spread out in too many different areas. The focus has been on that for the last couple of years, and it's been a great ride. I've really enjoyed it. So I want to ask you something, Sheila. Has it been difficult to find people to interview? And what do people like when they come in? I've seen some of that, and maybe you can tell our listeners how people are. People who seem to be pretty self-sufficient and feel pretty secure come in, and they're like, oh, I don't think I can be on the air. I don't know. I'm nervous.
It hasn't been hard to find people. They're everywhere, especially here in Port Townsend. But the longer I've been in the writing life, which is a long time now, since about 1980, the more I keep in touch with people. Charlie, you've certainly have been in touch with people since you used to do a website for writers, and a lot of the people that you know have been very accommodating in being in our show. That just hasn't been at all taxing. And keeping them straight in my head and the schedule straight in my head and spelling their names correctly have been actually maybe the hardest parts of the show. So that's just been fun. And it's really been fun to bump into somebody, show my credit card somewhere, and have that person say, oh, you're Sheila Bender. You do In Conversation. I listen to that show. I love that show. You ask good questions. That part of it has just been really lovely and community oriented. And it's just like writing a book and you send it out to the world and you have no idea how many people really are reading you. You don't know who's getting it from the library. You don't know who's buying it for somebody else. But then to have people say, oh, I found you 20 years ago through your first book. I'm like, whoa. And the same thing with the radio program, you know, just to know that people are listening. So that has not been hard. The harder part, I think, has been your part of it. And I know we go back and forth. You think, oh, it's hard for you because you have to communicate with all these people and you have to read their work. And I go, oh, no, when I'm done in the station, I'm done for that program. And you're not. You go home and there's a lot to the editing. So that's a two-part question for you. One is, how did you learn to edit digitally? And the second one is, how do you do it?
Luckily, I already had a lot of experience with Macintosh computers. So the computer end of it was not new to me. Otherwise, that would have been another whole learning process. Or if I had only been on PCs before. I learned to edit by editing, kind of like writers learn to write by writing. And the more I did, I think the better I got at it, the better I understood how the program worked that you use for editing. I think I came up with a better end result over a period of time, just from the experience of doing it over and over, listening to different voices, different speech patterns. Everyone is different. There's no two that are really the same. It's pretty interesting when you use a audio editing program to see visually what it looks like on the screen. As you go in each one, you find, okay, here's where they're saying this kind of thing or that kind of thing, or the uhs and the you knows and the ums begin to shape up, and you see where they are and you kind of anticipate when you see it pop up on the screen. Editing is something I had done a little bit of before in the writing sense. I love doing it. When I edit a show, it's really a two-step process as far as I'm concerned. I'll go through the first time and listen for all the things that I want to take out and take them out. But then I don't want to trust that that's exactly what I want, because I've listened to a half an hour of the interview without really being able to hear it from start to finish as a complete product. So then I'll listen to it again the second time to make sure it's what I want to hear. And most times I'll find other little stuff, or sometimes even once in a while, the bigger stuff that I missed the first time through, and can end up with it being the best I can do without doing it endlessly. And then there's the other parts to put in. There's opening and closing music. There's a station identification and a reminder of who's being interviewed that go in the middle somewhere, which is always a little bit of an adventure to find a good break point, because we don't program it to go X number of minutes and then say something and then pick it back up. So I have to put it in without disrupting the flow any more than I have to. And then there's a credit at the end. It's an interesting process, and the more I've done it, the more it works.
The people who have been interviewed comment on how they can't believe how good they sound. And I think most of us don't really hear the way we speak in conversation. We don't get that opportunity. And in this program, not only do we get the opportunity to hear how we speak, we also get to hear how we speak without the interruptions of ums and ahs and distractions of going off on tangents that aren't relevant. It's just such a worthwhile thing. And I just, every time I hear you talk, Charlie, about editing, I think how that just replicates what it feels like to write. And you don't know where you're going, and then you don't realize until revision what belongs and what doesn't belong. These ums and these ahs, and I think you've mentioned sometimes puffs, that people go puff before they say something. You edit them out.
Yes.
Yes. So I want to say that leads me to circle back to a part of the question you asked me before that I didn't answer, which is, what do we do when people who are normally confident come in squeamish about how they're going to get through this taping? And I think what we both do together is put them at ease, first of all, by greeting them and showing them just how nice and friendly we are. Or if we have to do it by phone, doing that with some warm-up conversation. The other thing I've learned to do is to assure them that their taping will end up sounding just as good as any of the ones they've heard in our archive because of your magic, and that they can make mistakes while they're talking because those mistakes or stumbles can be edited out. And that just knowing that it's not preserved as we did it, that there is opportunity to make it sound better, helps them.
I think people sometimes come in and think, well, I have to be perfect and I have to just talk all the way through without making any kind of mistake or ever saying or you know or something like that. And everybody does. I'm doing it right now when I'm recording this, and I'll be editing out some things that I've just said myself. It's human nature that's how people talk. But what I try to do with the end result is to have it be as smooth as possible so that you feel like you're not listening to a lot of things you don't want to hear. And I don't think most people want to hear a lot of ums and ahs and you knows, or a lot of stops and starts where somebody starts a sentence and then breaks off into something else. It's just hard to listen to. That's no reflection on the people that do it, because everybody does it. So it's a question of just getting it down to the right kind of end result so that people can listen to it, enjoy it, and the people who are the interviewees feel that they were treated fairly and like the end result too. You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. In case you just joined us, you are listening to In Conversation with Sheila Bender, discussions on writing and the writing life. Today, Sheila Bender and Charlie Fleischman are talking about their years together hosting, editing, and producing In Conversation.
I think when it comes to making them feel comfortable about the words they're going to say, how they're going to talk about their writing, how they're going to talk about writing, giving questions ahead of time that show them the kinds of things I'm interested in talking about has usually been successful. Once in a while, there'll be someone who'll say, I don't need questions, I'd rather be extemporaneous. And that's fine too. It's a conversation. And just think about when you meet a new person or somebody you know from the past but haven't seen in a while, and you start to talk, you just do it. And I like the show to kind of imitate that way of just getting to know one another. In this case, the topic is always writing. It's been a real pleasure for me to learn from the people who I'm speaking with and to hear that they've learned from the question they've had to answer. And that, to me, also imitates the process of writing. That's the joy of it, is entering the unknown. How are you going to say what it is you have inside to say? And in our case, we get to say it to each other as people in the writing realm. And I also feel really happy about inviting readers in to learn something about how writers think and how writers approach their work and what their work sounds like. And sometimes hearing a little story that precedes the reading, because most of our conversations have had readings from the writers. And that leads me to tell people listening to us today just how moved we've been from time to time sitting together, whether it's been in the booth because the person's not local or whether we're in the studio. People share in writing the deepest vulnerabilities in the most beautiful ways. And I think that our program has that quality. I think what moved us has moved listeners.
There's been some specifically I can think of that we just sat here and kind of looked at each other and kind of wiped a few tears away and said, that's really special. And some of the people, besides the fact that they've said some wonderful and emotional things read it so well, too, because it's their life and it's their experiences. The one that always comes back to me is David Reich, who we interviewed, it's 4 or 5 years ago now. And he had ended up being the executor of an estate of someone, a friend of his who had died. If I remember right, Sheila, he was out walking and thinking about her and wrote about that. And we used it, I think, in one of our station fundraising things and heard it again. And it's
talking about, I think, is that, and of course, these are available online. His last name is R-E-I-C-H, David Reich. He was at the end of his book at that point, at the end of the years of working on settling her estate, which involved a legal suit for malpractice. And he's hopeful. He's as if he's addressing her, and he's hopeful that he's done the job right. And just, it brings tears just now to feel that sense he had of responsibility and hope that he had done what her wishes were. And it was sort of a final act of friendship that lingers and is there today.
It's one of those things several years ago, and it's still right there at the top of my memory bank. I just have never forgotten it. I'm sure if I went back and looked some more, I'd see others too that would bring back some of those.
Oh, do you remember Holly Hughes, the local poet, was in the studio. One of the poems she read was about bathing her mother who had Alzheimer's. And another poet who read to us and had us in tears was Peg Dira from Portland. She's got a book out about losing her husband. It's actually about meeting him and going through the years of his illness together. So many. So I want to encourage people to get online to KPTZ, click under podcasts. You'll see In Conversation listed there, and take a listen. These are just highlights of my week's experiences, and to hear poets and other writers in their own voices. When I was in the studio face-to-face with the poets and writers, and they were reading from their work, I was an audience of one at the moment. And just to hear a person reading to me, and I was only, what, 2-3 feet from them, microphones in our faces, was astonishingly moving. I wondered if I would feel self-conscious sitting there receiving these words. Never. I always felt like I was honored to be sitting there being read to. Behind the scenes is as phenomenal as you can imagine.
And that brings up the difference between interviewing someone in person and the phone conversations where you can't see a person's reaction. They can't see you, can't always find out where there's a stopping or a pause place for the conversation too.
I think we've had our humorous moments when we don't know how I can break in and ask a question so that it is a conversation, because writers aren't as shy as we think they are, is what I have found out, that when given the opportunity to speak, they are happy, very happy to speak, and they have important and interesting things to say. And the way telephones or technology works now is it's very hard to interrupt one another and be heard. There's something about not being able to have two people talk at the same time. So that's been another editing challenge for Charlie when I felt that I had to say something and the person who can't see me doesn't know I want to say something. That's in Charlie's hands to make that sound okay in the end. We have learned a lot working together. We started out recording way too much for each program. And as we got better, you said, you know what, let's just go for 30 minutes because we're looking for 28 finished minutes.
Around 28 by the time we get the music in, the station ID in the middle, the credit at the end.
Yeah,
usually end up with 28 something.
I work well to deadlines, as many writers do. So having the minute deadline of 30 has helped me quite a bit in organizing and managing the conversation. So I want to say thank you for that. That was a great idea that we actually had a goal in terms of minutes that we were shooting for. When we talk about editing and volunteer editing, one of the things I know is that the station is looking for more people who would like to be trained as editors and take on programs. And our station is moving to its new quarters at Fort Worden in September. And I would think that after things are settled there, there might be opportunities for people who want to take on editing roles.
Very definitely. There's always a need for it. A little harder in Port Townsend to get younger people involved because most of the younger people are working or going to school or whatever. So we end up with people of the older age brackets, which is fine, but it'd be good to have some diversity of ages at the station and get some people in there who might be some long-term participants and wanting to be involved over a period of time. I'll backtrack for a moment. when we were talking about phone conversations and recording in general, I was looking the other day to see how many shows are in the archives here. Somewhere around, probably in the 160s. The early recordings at the station are kind of scattered. It looks like they weren't archived immediately, but for the last, I'd say, 6 years, they have been. We know what those shows were, who the people were, and there's a really great backlog of things. The station doesn't have every one of them up there on their podcast page. It goes back, I'm not sure exactly when, but it goes back a few years. Sheila has it on her Writing, WRITINGITREAL, writingitreal.com site, has ones that go back even further than the station. So if anybody's looking to find older programs, they're on there.
And I must say, my website also has the photographs of the writers, which is kind of fun, and links to their websites. So we hope that the show will linger with you, because Charlie and I are recording today in order to say goodbye. We have spent a lot of time together, side by side in the recording booth, a lot of time on the phone and via email. It's with great poignancy that we are closing the show, and it's with great hopes that the archives will be used to play repeats and that listeners will listen to what is archived on my site and also at KPTZ. But before we close out completely, I think we want to talk a little bit about things that surprised us or most amused us in our efforts. I know one thing that amused me was how many times I misspelled things or got mixed up on who we were actually going to be interviewing that day. Not in my real calendar, but in my emails to Charlie. And being the great editor he is, he would come back with me and say, "I don't think that's right." Or, "You always handled it very graciously." I look over the list of people that have been either in the studio or on the phone with us and remember some highlights. I remember having contacted Katha Pollitt, who writes for The Nation, as well as has written memoir and poetry, and didn't know who she would think I was, coming out of nowhere asking if she would interview with us. She was delighted. She was in New York, and it was right after the election, the 2016 election, and she didn't want to talk about writing. She wanted to talk about despair. And we did both. So that was certainly one where I was on the other side of, oh my God, how's this going to sound? Because this isn't what I planned. But it was very, very worthwhile. We have taken a leap into Skype and Skype called with William Powers, a New Yorker who lives in Bolivia, about what it's like there for him as an expat, living off the land and becoming part of the community. We have interviewed local writers like Gary Lilly, who spoke a lot about how he came to poetry in the Carolina that he grew up in and how a particular high school teacher had introduced the class to poetry, something he hadn't really learned about before, and what a difference it's made in his life and career. I've spoken with local poets Joanne Clarkson and Gail County and Linda Robertson, John Delaney, Terry Persun, Lauren Davis, all of them showing me over and over again what a rich writer's community we have here. It was lovely to speak with local poet Bill Mawinney about his poetry and his years curating the North Wind Arts Center poetry reading series. I've spoken to people in Seattle and Colorado, California, and Bellingham. I'm just looking at the list of just a few that I plucked because they were more local than others. And then we've had program directors like outgoing Jordan Hart from Centrum, bookstore owners like Anna Quinn. We've had other program directors like Stan Rubin and the late Judith Kitchen about their Rainier Writers Workshop. We've had Diane Avey from Anderson Island, who directs a writers conference there every summer and also has had success with a poetry book that she calls A Memoir of Loss and Grieving. The list is big. Mary Mackey, a famous poet from California who was generous enough to talk with us. Susan Landgraf from Seattle, who often teaches at Centrum in the afternoon program.
And we've had some newspaper people. We had Patrick Sullivan when he was the editor of the Port Townsend Leader. We've had Kirk Boxleitner, who writes for the Leader. We've had Ken Doctor, who was the owner and publisher of the Willamette Valley Observer in Eugene. a number of years ago, alternative newspaper. Turned out to be the leading pundit when it comes to newspapers. He writes and talks about the future of print news.
And sometimes we've mined our own children for interviews. Charlie spoke of his son, Glenn, and I said, yes, let's interview him. And he has been letterpress and written for magazines online and just a prolific writer. And he actually gave us connections to Susan Orlean, who we interviewed. I interviewed my daughter, who is a linguist and teaches at the University of Washington.
And you talked with my wife, Maurilio Mustaka, 3 years ago. She wrote under the name of Mariah Mustakas at that time.
Maurilio did a beautiful interview conversation about her poetry and how she started to write and who she was writing for and to. She's in the archive, of course, as are all the others that I've mentioned. We've just found writers close and far. Well, Charlie, I think the time has come to say goodbye to the program.
I think you're right. And we need to, first of all, thank KPTZ for having us on the air all this time and for the support. Larry Stein, the program director, all the other people at the station who have supported us. And the listeners, all you listeners, we don't know how many of you are out there or who you are, and we appreciate it.
We do, and we appreciate anybody who might offer some volunteer help at the station, and especially excited about being able to volunteer at the new location, which is going to be extraordinary. We've been broadcasting from a little portable, as many of you know, outside of the Mountain View building. It's been cozy. It's been a little too noisy. Leaf blowers outside sometimes, all kinds of interesting things.
People talking out in the main room.
Right.
Music that's too loud sometimes. But I think people understand that's part of
what
a community radio station can be right. When you're in a facility that's not designed right. To be a radio station.
However, very recently I was at a meeting with Larry Stein, and he said he's had occasion to catch in conversation while he's driving, and he'll go, wow, this station sounds professional. And that made me feel really good, and it should make Charlie feel really, really good.
Yes, it did.
So it's with sadness and reluctance, but actually great pleasure at the work we did to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
In Conversation is produced by Sheila Bender and edited by Charlie Fleischman.